I think I'm just going to cold intro this one. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Hey, it's Mr. Adam X, and you're listening to The Pursuit on the Out of Bounds Network. As always, before we start, I ask that you can like, subscribe, leave a review. 5 stars is great. 1 stars isn't super great, but it's a review, so leave a review. Let us know what you think. This week's guest is a bit of a hot topic right now. Paddy O'Connell, you might know him from his latest article, Telemark Skiers, Why Are You the Way You Are? This guy rules. I don't know what everyone's so mad about. He wrote a satire article about Telemark skiing and how it's dumb, just as skiing is dumb and snowboarding is dumb. So we kind of hash into it, talk about Telemark skiing and what it is and why it is. And this dude's super rad. No one should hate him. He has the best mustache I've ever seen. He's got a really, really, really cool like web series going on with cross-country skiing and how it's actually harder than you think. There's nothing to be mad about this guy about. At Paddy Rock, PaddyYROC on Instagram. One final note before we get started. The audio got a little shaky for a second there, but it does pop back in, so don't stress. I don't know, I live in a van, so I'm usually just stealing internet from the street. So that's probably on me. But besides that, the episode's rad. I'm really pumped on it. Paddy rules. His mustache rules. He's actually a really good human, and we shouldn't be mad at him because he wrote a satire article about Telemark skiing. So here it is. Paddy O'Connell, a.k.a. Paddy O. Thank you.
Yeah,
for being
cool, man. We had like a really good chat, and I'm good to run that back. You know, like, although now what I think is going to happen in the Telemark world now is like, it's like when you show up to like, you know, like a freestyle rap battle, and everybody in the crowd is like, this motherfucker is spitting writtens. You know, like he's like coming with shit already pre-planned. You know, so now. Now it's just going to be like, this was round two. This doesn't count.
Well, that's your intro. The most hated man on the internet, Paddy O'Connell.
I know.
Just in the Telemark world, Paddy, tell us who you are and why everyone hates you right now.
Well, why everyone hates me right now? This is like
gonna Telemark skiers
conversation. Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation to have with my therapist. Hi, everybody. My name is Paddy O'Connell. You might know me from the internet. I'm a professional word nerd and chit chatter in the primarily in the outdoor media space. That means I write, I produce podcasts, I produce different multimedia creations. I am a Swiss Army knife of creativity. I'm an Irishman from Chicago, the owner of a robust mustache. I recently penned an article for Ski Magazine about Telemark skiing, and people got fired up about it, we could say.
To say the least. So the article was called Telemark Skiers, Why Are You the Way You Are?
Yes.
Which you could have left it at that, and I think people would have boiled over.
Just a blank page after the headline. Yeah.
But like, so that came out 3 weeks ago and people are still talking about it.
Yes, they are. I know, on the internet.
Why? I think you did your job, obviously.
You.
Like, your job is to get clicks. And I don't care what anyone else has to say. That's your job. Your job is to get clicks to Ski Mag or anyone else that you are working for. So in that aspect, you home runned it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, it did, you know, I'm not sure what the numbers are, but I know that, you know, the social media posts that Ski Mag put up about it kind of blew up. So I think it did, you know, pretty well. And I'd say that, like, I mean, every time I create anything, right? Like I'm looking to make people laugh and make people think. and I hope I made people laugh and think with this, but I can honestly say that the response to it, especially like the very negative response, was pretty shocking. I am shocked at the response that people have had to it.
I can't believe people care. Like, and like, obviously we're rehashing a conversation that no one knows we had already, but like, we're sliding down snow. We're literally like, it's sledding, but in control, whether it be skiing, snowboarding, right. Telemark skiing, sled dogs, ski boards, it's dumb. And that's like, skiing is dumb. Snowboarding is dumb. Telemark skiing is like really dumb. And for anyone who doesn't know, I telemark ski a lot. Like, I am I don't own alpine boots.
Yeah.
That being said, I am buying alpine boots next year because of Patty's article, and I said it was dumb.
So I'm not. Now I'm gonna get like hate mail now, because you know it's like, you've turned Adam now.
You turned the only podcast host. No, I am a telemark skier, and I telemark ski a lot. I probably had 100 plus days this year, but I do a lot of touring. And I think originally telemark skiing was this ticket to the backcountry.
Right. Totally.
And now the alpine touring gear is so far advanced that it's better.
And I think I kind of point that out in the article, but really, like, I mean, I don't hate telemark skiing. I don't even dislike it. I think it does like look cool, you know. I have tons of friends who telly, and
yeah, but I that's like that, like, oh well, my friend tellies, so I can say that.
Well, but here's the thing though, is that like I'm a curious person, right? And like that's the way I come up with anything that I write about or talk about or anything that I create, right? Is that like I typically get inspired like when I'm out and about in the mountains and I notice something interesting. And that's where this thing happened. You know, I was in Silverton and my buddy John is the last telly holdout who guides for Silverton. And we were shooting the shit before the day started. And he was like, hey, man, like, let me show you these new bindings I got. And I was like, oh, my God, dude, no way. Are you clicking your heels in now? Like, John, are you serious? And he was like, "Man, no, fuck no. I'm never doing that." You know? I was like, okay, awesome. And so he shows me these new binders that he has where, like, you tow in. And then they're telly bindings. They're like, but they, like, click into the bottom of your sole. And
yeah, NTN.
Right, the NTN, thank you. Right, like instead of the
75 mil, yeah, like a duck, it's basically duck bill, which was 75 mil, and now they call this NTN, and some people call it duck butt because it like grabs on the back. But
well, that's kind of cute.
Yeah, we try.
I like that. I'm into that. Also, the terms that you just threw out there, like you might as well be speaking like Martian to me. I have no idea what you're talking about. But like, so John is like showing me his new things. He's psyched on it, psyched. And I'm like, dude, like, this is as close as you can get to like clicking your heel in with like still being able to bend your knees. Like, what is going on? And then we went back and forth, and like, he gave me shit about alpine skiing. And I gave him shit about his like gigantic beard that like has an owl living in it. You know, like, it's just like this like lovable thing, right, between he and I. And then I kind of was like, oh, like there's something here, right? Like all skiers, no matter your like discipline, like give each other lovable shit, you know? And it's kind of this like friendly ribbing back and forth. And I was like, oh, well, you know, there's kind of this thing of like, you know, alpine skiers giving tele skiers shit and tele skiers giving alpine skiers shit. And it's kind of like funny. And so I was like, I think there's like something here. I'm going to explore this, but I want to make sure that, you know, it is perceived as being like over the top and ridiculous and not a serious thing. So I'm going to wrap it in these like absurd analogies and like, you know, talk about skiing with dinosaurs and people skiing in monocles and skiing during the Jurassic period and things like this, to make sure that people know that this is not fact, that this is farce. Unfortunately, people misunderstood that, you know, which is a bummer.
Just difficult.
You know, it's, I mean, that's a bummer, right? Because like the whole intention was to be like, you know, like, ha ha ha, this is funny and over the top and ridiculous. And that's why, like, you know, like I think those jokes work because they're, or what I wrote, I believe work as these kind of like funny jokes, not to be taken seriously, because they're not based in anything like real. It's not like I'm sitting here talking about like the physics of, you know, Alpine versus tele equipment or anything like that. It's like, tele skiers, you skied during the Jurassic period. What are you doing still on these things? You know, it's like over the top. Unfortunately, people misunderstood that and they took it as like real fact or opinion. And you know, like what's really kind of a bummer about it is I would never want, you know, to someone to think that I'm like putting up a wall or like othering people. I try to actually like destroy that in most of my more like serious work. So that was unfortunate. That was, and I mean, the big over the top like response to it has been kind of shocking, and that's a bummer, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want to make people sad.
Yeah, that's not your goal. It's not Ski Mag's goal to make people sad. But I think I think what you could have wrote anything about telemark skiing that is, if that didn't say like this is the anything you wrote about telemark skiing that was any way negative, people would have blown up because no one talks about it. So anytime, right. And I think that's what happened. We're so hyper, not we, cause I don't care, but like telemark skiers are so sensitive because it's like doing this thing every, it's like riding like those off-road unicycle guys.
Right.
And no one cares.
Right.
But like, it's so much harder. Like I'm doing the same line as you, and this is so much harder. And you're just like, nah, you're not an Alpine dude. No one cares. And I like, maybe the unicycle reference is wrong, but like, it's that off-road guy that everyone knows that is like, he rips on a unicycle, arguably way harder, but who cares? So when it, when these magazines write articles, it's never anything positive about a telemark skier. And I know yours was satire, but I think that's why everyone just lost it.
And I would agree with that. You know, like I listened, you sent me that other podcast.
Free Hill Life.
I originally didn't listen to it because I was like, I kind of looked into the host and I was like, oh, this dude's got telemark tattooed on his knuckles. Like, I bet he's like pretty upset with me. I don't want to hear somebody being pretty upset with me. And then you told me, and he's like, no, it's like, it's pretty funny. It was really funny.
Yeah, what was your take on that? Because I thought it was
really funny. And I also, like, we've been in contact, Josh and I. Like,
oh, great.
And which is awesome. And I'm totally, next time I'm in Salt Lake, I'm 1,000% going to go, you know, try my damnedest to go, you know, keep up with him and his crew. I'm looking for like a ibuprofen sponsorship because I'm just going to fall down a lot, I'm sure. You know,
you probably got
I'm
better odds with like CBD because they're just throwing money at every athlete.
Yeah, weed, Vaseline, you mean?
Everything. Oh, you have a headache? CBD. Oh, your joints, broken leg, CBD. It's like Tussin of like the 30s.
You need some lilac essential oil for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think actually now we're coming up with like a really good multi-level marketing scheme for the ski industry. So let's talk after.
Yeah, let's do this after.
But I think, so like to what Josh was saying, to your point, I think what's happening and which I like, you know, didn't realize that I was poking at is like maybe some like tease fatigue, you know, like
for sure.
What Josh is pointing out is that like, you know, dudes that he doesn't even know in lift lines will be like, you know, your bindings suck, you know, and it's like, whoa, you know,
you
like,
suck.
That's yeah, exactly. It's like, that's pretty like ridiculous. Like I'm only like face to face will like joke around with the people that I know about their equipment, whatever their equipment is, you know, like snow bikes, rollerblades, unicycles, telemark skiing, like whatever it is. Like if they're my friends, like, you know, that's like how my siblings and I show each other love is to be
right.
Like, oh, you're goofy, I also love you, hug, you know.
Right.
And,
6 feet.
So I think what's happening is probably masked, vaccine. I think what's happening, which I didn't realize, you know, is like maybe some tease fatigue with people actually being like dicks on the mountain and like screaming at people they don't know, you know. So that's like, you know, that's a bummer to that, to realize like maybe I like poked at that. But again, like when I brought this idea up and even, you know, like sent the article to my telly friends, they're like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. And I thought that the response like across the board was going to be like that. So it was pretty shocking, you know, that it wasn't. And it, I was bummed that there was a misunderstanding, you know, but I guess like one of the things I want to like ask you, you know, or maybe point out is like, you know, the thing I love about like ski culture is that like, I think we all recognize, right, that it's like, it's given all of us the sense of belonging and community, and it's beautiful and soul enriching. And I write a lot about like how it can like reveal things about ourselves and life. But like at the core of it, like, you know, like Dexter Ratecki says in Aspen Extreme, like we're just sliding downhill on sticks, man. You know, like,
yeah, skiing's the easy part.
Yeah, exactly. Skiing's the easy part, Carl. Like it's like, I mean, it's inherently goofy. You know, the first time I got on skis, I was like this, I did not have like a frowny face. Like, this is very serious. I should take this serious for the rest of my life. You know, I was like, this is super fun. And I feel like a kid, you know, that like zip of energy through my body from this is hilarious and funny. And it's like, I mean, it's like why we wear neon and do spreadies and like wear jeans and jorts and stuff like that. Cause it's goofy. It's a way to like goof off. And like, it's a smile delivery system at its core. And I think, you know, I think that a lot of times when ego is attached to something like skiing, it can put us in trouble. When we take something very serious, it can put us into trouble. And I'm wondering kind of like, if you think that, you know, like something harmful and toxic can come away from us taking skiing so seriously, and like also like, you know, am I unaware of something? Like, has the last year or the last handful of years kind of put the skiing world like back on its heels a little bit, like feeling like we need to defend ourselves? Like, do you think, I don't know, do you think have we lost our funny?
I don't know, because that's a good point. Like, I grew up playing basketball, like summer, yeah, basketball summer camps, like that's what I did, and then I played all winter, like that was right, my sport. I was okay, I was good, but like that was my life, right? And then right, you know, I played like varsity as like a sophomore, like I could play, but I was good.
Yeah.
And then I found skiing. I put a snowboard on first at like 16, 17, and that was like, holy, like there's no, I don't have any coaches. I don't even tell me what to do. Yeah. No one's telling me totally, like where to go or how to do it. And then I from snowboarding, I evolved into skiing and then eventually fell into telemark skiing somehow. But it was a freedom to me. It was like I'm not a gamer, but I think I might've said this, like, it was like an open world video game. It was like, holy, I can do whatever I want. And this is just fun.
Totally.
And I didn't totally, even, yeah, I didn't even know that like coaching and like, I knew there was like ski racing, but I thought people were just right, fast. Like, I didn't know that world because right, I didn't grow up in that world.
Same. Yeah. Same.
So to me, it was like this ultimate just freedom, open world video game. And then as I got like good, quote unquote, and like got like some sponsors and like, and I'm still not good, but I'm just clever enough to get a free jacket every year, you know, but like, but that's what it is, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But it got really serious. And like some of like my sponsors would like email me after I asked them for like free hats. And they were like, well, what did you do last year? And I was like, dude, if you think I like went and like tried to get hurt for you, this jacket, like you're so wrong.
Yes.
And that's just me. Like, I am not a pro skier. Probably in some ways right, get a lot more free equipment than some pro skiers, which is a little weird, but yeah, like totally, there are people yeah, there. That's what makes skiing and skiing as a general, snowboarding, whatever, so rad that if you ask, yeah, if you ask me if I'm a skier, I'm a skier. If I ask right, my nephew, who I just took skiing once this year, he's 5 years old for the first time. If I asked him right now if he was a skier, he would say yes. And if I asked Cody Townsend if he was a yeah, skier, he totally would say yes. So I think there is a serious world, but I don't think, I would say 99% of skiers, riders, whatever, are not living in that, but they think they are. If that makes sense.
I understand that. I can understand like that, you know, point of view. And that's not to say that, right? Like, we don't do like serious, cool shit when we're on skis. You know, it's like, you know, Hillary Nelson skiing the Lhotse Kular, or like, you know, those dudes who skied Half Dome, you know, like, yeah, that's like bonkers to me, you know. Also, when I read about that stuff, I'm kind of like, oh man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay. But like, you know, like, I can read about that, and that's as far as I have to go. I spent last week at Tux, Mount Washington, Tuckerman's Ravine.
Yeah.
And on our fourth lap, my eyes started burning and I went fucking snowblind. And like, here I am, like a 34-year-old. Yeah. I'm a 34-year-old blown out, like, two knee surgeries, wedding photographer. And I'm like at the top of this mountain blind, like on a walkie-talkie. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I suck. Like, I better get a free jacket next year. I'll tell you that. But like, it's so funny because we like chase these things. And that was just like the perfect algorithm. Like, I had glasses on, you know, whatever. It just, sometimes it happens. But it's like, when you're in these situations with like crampons, ice axe, and I'm like, you know, Wildcat's across the street.
Right.
I could have just went skiing.
Well, and that's the thing. I always joke around, like, no one ever has put like ski crampons on and has been like, oh, I'm so glad I had those on. We got to some great snow and some beautiful skiing. Mostly it's like, I put ski crampons on because I thought I was gonna die.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, it's like stuff like that where I'm like, wow, like, you know, like, and I've, you know, like, I've done, you know, whatever stuff that like has been super puckering, and I think I'm kind of done with that part of my skiing life. You know, I can appreciate like when people are putting in, you know, a first descents of things, you know, but it's like when you've got like a 9-hour descent or whatever of K2, I'm like, that sounds kind of awful. You know, like, I'd rather, you know, like go like, put jorts on and like ski some like groomers and like try to like do as many like spread eagles as possible, you know. And I think that like, so what I was surprised about in terms of this article was that like, an article I felt was like inherently goofy, pointing out the goofiness of skiing in an over the top way was taken so seriously. And honestly, like, I was a little like, kind of like, there was like a small little tiny like funeral I had in my heart a little bit, because like I've written some like really serious stuff about the ski community, stuff like, you know, climate change and alcoholism and drug addiction and mental health and like the insane suicide rates in mountain towns, racism, sexism, homophobia, like all these terrible forms of discrimination, like these big ticket things that are really kind of like, you know, devouring our community from the outside in and from the inside out. And like, I wish it those things had received such like an emotional response, and I would hope they'll change for like real issues, you know. And you know, again, you know, like I'm a humorist, you know. I try to inject humor in nearly everything I create. Mostly it's like, mostly I direct it at myself, you know, because I think I'm like the biggest target, you know. Like, if I'm not laughing at myself, then like I'm kind of like missing out on like the world's biggest joke, I think, you know. And sometimes taking the piss out of myself is a great way for me to deal with something I'm scared about or whatever. But, you know, sometimes I direct my humor like at a thing or at an idea, and like very, very rarely I direct it like at a person. And I think when it comes to humor, there can be this like gray line, right, that you walk between like funny and sometimes like harmful or hurtful. But I typically see that in dealing with like serious subject matter, like when we are like gallows humor or something, like you're pushing like humor into like the dark parts of life. And like, I just don't see skiing or telemark skiing or any part of sliding downhill as like serious subject matter, you know, but I understand that, you know, some folks do, and they misunderstood like my intention here and the intention of the piece, you know, but not everything that I create is going to strike a positive chord with everyone. And that's not realistic. And ultimately, like, I'm okay with that. You know, again, we're just, you know, we're talking about sliding downhill on sticks, and I hope I made some people laugh, and I hope that I made some people giggle, and I'm, you know, bummed that that wasn't like widespread. But
yeah, and know. I think what you said earlier, it was kind of like a Christmas story when like Ralphie gets pushed and he just snaps. I think it was just like we've been bullied enough, and I think everyone just saw something that they could like let it out, and your article and you were that person, unfortunately. And like,
well, but also unfortunately, like in that analogy, that makes me that like redheaded bully, you know, and that guy's such a dick in that movie,
but you know? Maybe bad example, but like, you know, it was just like,
I get it.
They never get any light. And I made this joke prior, but like Powder Magazine wrote the article that's telemark skiing is dead, and then they died.
Yeah.
So like,
right. Totally.
Walk on eggshells, my friend.
I know. Yeah, you've been warned. Yeah, totally.
Go ahead.
Well, I was, you know, I was just gonna say, like, here's my like you know, my offering of the sacrificial lamb or offering of like the deer to, you know, the
right, but
Telemark
skiers. So
like,
you linked
Telemark
up-
skiers, I love you. This is me saying it. I love you. You're worthy. What you do is great. And I have found equipment. I am becoming one of you. You have pushed
one
me
of us. One
I'm doing
us.
It. I have found equipment. My friend Hannah, who I wrote about, you know, in the piece, is going to take me out. She taught all of her siblings how to bend a knee, and I'm going to genuflect my way down a hill soon, and I am very excited about it. And I'm going to be a telemark skier.
You only need one turn. Are you ready? So you alpine the whole way, right? Like you just hang out and make really bad heel alpine turns, like backseat as much as you can. And then as soon as
you backseat Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
As soon as you see people or like the lift line, just drop that knee and make that turn and be like, like give them like
the double backhand deuces.
So everyone knows like, oh dude, that guy ripped, but really you just made sick. Like, that's pretty much my telemark skiing. Like, oh, I'm under the chairlift. Check out these lunges. Like,
yeah,
oh,
totally.
Oh, I'm in the woods, backseat Jesus, just hanging on for dear life.
Okay, good. I'm going to use that then.
Or like, if you want to be a park skier, just like anything you want, like hit a jump, land, and like bend a knee. People like, they lose it.
It blows people's minds.
Yeah, yeah, like.
I know. Well, I'm going to try. I'm like in the like, I don't know, like. The in utero stage.
Yeah, you're thinking
becoming
about
a telemark skier. Like I'm gonna blossom into a telemark butterfly.
I can't wait, and I'm gonna take all your alpine equipment and
perfect. Shift gears. No, what I'll do is I'll send you some like touring equipment from like, you know, 2010. Some like gigantic like plate, you know.
Yeah, the Solomon Guardian.
Oh, just, you know, even way before then, you know. Oh, what were those things that like you could actually in an alpine
day
regular
runners.
Alpine set? Yes. Oh,
day
those
trekkers.
Things. Yes. Those
I'll be like, these are so huge. Light. These are great.
Yeah, with a bunch of skis with like 118 underfoot with just like 7 sheets of metal in it, skis like that. Like, oh, it'll be sick.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Did you, this is a personal question. Did you gain followers from like this article, or did you lose followers, or did you just get like a bunch of hate?
I, you know, I don't think that I pay enough attention to like the total number of like
well, you would know like if you jumped 1,000 or lost 1,000.
Right. I didn't like jump anything insane. Yeah. I don't know if I think anybody who probably follows me, you know, is like knows that I take the piss out of myself and pretty much everything that I write about until I'm like switch gears. And I typically have like, you know, like serious, like caption to follow, like some type of like bold thing like that. So I don't know if I did lose any. But a lot of people found me on the internet and expressed their opinions to me, you know, which honestly, it kind of made me feel like the protagonist in like a 1980s ski flick. It's the first time ever in my life I've felt like John Cusack and Better Off Dead. So that was
That's a dream of mine.
And he's a Chicago guy too, so like I felt really good.
That's a dream of mine right there. So do you want to hear my favorite? You could say no, but my favorite telemark like comparison to you, because I think it's so absurd, and I didn't send it to you, and you might have seen it.
Okay. But, yeah. Oh, now it's seeing. Now I just started.
Yeah, yeah. This is a Maury. You
are. Be great father. Again. This is the Maury. Yeah, you are the father moment that I was so nervous about.
So this was like last. This was like last week. So that article, like, this is recent that this someone wrote this. Yeah. It says, how do you feel about people in the ski industry actively discriminating others in attempt to discredit people's careers, state of well-being, and happiness? Thanks for the hate at Ski Magazine. And then to take this, and this isn't to make you feel bad, because I think this is insane and you're going to hear why. So then they screenshot Ski Magazine or at Ski Magazine and write hypocrites. Ski Magazine, I thought you said you were against discrimination and it's the Black Lives Matter like logo, like that, like. Like, guys, this is not comparable. This is not.
I don't like jump into, I think it's a dangerous thing to jump into the.
For sure. And we're not going to dive
comment
deep.
Section of anything like kind of negative, you know, I think that, you know, and again, people are entitled to their reactions, and I don't want to like, you know, tell someone like, oh, you should be thinking this, but I think it's a pretty dangerous thing to try to draw a through line to, you know, from Black Lives Matter to telemark skiing. Also, I would, just as a word nerd, I would suggest that, you know, people look up the word discriminate and see what that is actually about, because in this article and in every article, I would never be a part of something that pulls the rug out in hatred of somebody because of their gender identity, their race, their religion, their sexual orientation, anything like that. Like that to me is like, that's pretty dangerous, I would say. And I think it's one thing not to understand, or get the joke here and be like, hey, why are you picking on us? But like, let's just be clear here. The Black Lives Matter movement and discrimination and racism and homophobia and transphobia and white supremacy, like these are things that are really killing our ski community and really othering people. And we need to break down the barriers there and make people more like feel welcomed here. But I think that like some fun ribbing about equipment and how someone chooses to make a turn, you know, is a whole hell of a lot different. I mean, what's your reaction to that?
I was like furious on every angle. I actually sent it to Jabber and was like, dude, what the, I just don't know. It's like comparing like a car to a potato. Like, don't like, these are not the same thing. Like, this is not even close. And don't try to don't try to bring that into this. Cause like, you're wrong. This shouldn't even be discussed. And I debated bringing it up, but I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't have already talked to you, and I knew you would handle it correctly. So thank you for handling that correctly and having an actual curate, like, well thought out response. I didn't mean to put you on the point, cause that's not, or on the spot, cause that's not what I want to do here. But I think that to me was something that, like, dude, you went too far. Not you. We went too far trying to, like, we're just sliding on snow, having fun. And that's all it should be. And like, when you're attacking people on the internet or brands or whatever, there are people behind those brands, and you, and we are no better, and we are all learning, but like, let's continue to learn. And like, the proper response for me, and exactly what I did, cause I have this platform, when you wrote that article, which didn't offend me, but was to like reach out and be like, I'm going to talk to this guy, cause I think it'll be a really exciting conversation. And I think it has, but yeah, it's apples to, or it's cars to potatoes, which is like,
it's cars to potatoes. But, and again, I think like for something like that, it's like, I hope that people who have passionate responses to the things they read, whatever they read, I hope that they get involved with things like Black Lives Matter and the destruction of all these like insidious forms of discrimination that are in our nation or our world, and definitely within mountain life, within the ski community. I've written a ton about that stuff, and you could check it out if you'd like, or check out the other bajillion people who have written things similarly, and I hope that same kind of passion is brought to those issues, because it could be really helpful in shifting our community towards the positive.
I agree. And it's people like you writing about these things that help shine light on it. Cause it's it's so easy for us to just ignore it. Right. Like, it's just easy for, like, I'm blonde hair, blue eyed white guy. I have no idea. Like, and I try, and I'm learning and forever learning, and that's all we can do. And if I felt confident enough on the subjects to write about them, I would. And this is my subject. This is my writing form, is this. So having this conversation is awesome. So thank you for that. Shifting gears. Mm-hmm. We'll get away from Telemark article. You kind of do it all.
I try to,
but you do some podcasting stuff, for Duct Tape and Beer, Dirtbag Diaries, if I'm not wrong. Those are Dirtbag Diaries is like part of the Duct Tape Then Beer, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So are you hosting? Are you recording? Are you helping these people write the stories? How involved are you with that? And I mean, as much as you want to tell us about it, I guess.
Well, it's kind of all of those things. So yeah, like you said, Duct Tape and Beer is the production house that produces the Dirtbag Diaries. They also produced a podcast that I was the co-host and co-writer for, which is unfortunately no longer, a podcast called Safety Third. It's got four wonderful seasons. Anybody can go check it out. They have like the original outdoor podcast, like the OG of podcasting, to begin with, really, like not just in the outdoor space, but like just in podcasting in general. I think they're on their like 14th or 15th year of doing this.
That's wild.
Which is great because it has like an insane catalog of just so many great stories. And those folks over there are like my family. I love them so much. And so I recently produced a piece for them about kind of like life and skiing and what happens to life and skiing when everything kind of gets like upended. And then I produced an episode for the Outside Magazine podcast about 80s ski flicks and how they shaped a generation of skiers, which was a ton of fun to do. And hopefully we've got more stuff on the books with both of them. And yeah, I do. I write for Ski. I write for Free Skier or Men's Journal. I produce kind of like short like video series for different brands. I work with brands on audience, you know, capture. You know, I try to do as much as I can in different forms of media, because it's one, it's really fun and exciting for me, and two, I got to pay rent and, you know, pay the tab at the pizza bar. So
right
so I try to, yeah, like I said, I try to be a Swiss Army knife of creativity and do all the things.
But I think that's interesting, because most people are like, I'm a writer, I'm a photographer, I'm a videographer, I'm, you know, like, and you seem to kind of do it all. Like you did a cross-country film with Solomon.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
you're becoming a Nordork. Yeah.
So I assume you like wrote the script and like helped film it, but you're also like the actor, which you're not acting necessarily, but like you're the guy, you're the main character. Like you're becoming the Nordork.
Well, cause I think, you know, like one of the things that I love to do is like write the op-ed or the personal essay. And what I really love about that, and this is something that I've always loved as a kid, you know, who grew up as a storyteller and a consumer of stories, is like how this personal story could become universal given the right, you know, storytelling devices and the right set of circumstances. And I think the cool thing about something like becoming a Nordork is, one, it gives me a great opportunity to take the piss out of myself and continue to challenge myself to try new things and to try my damnedest not to take myself seriously when I'm just awful at something. Like, I'm a terrible Nordic skier. It's so hard. And
it's really hard. Like anyone at home who hasn't done it, take a pair of like low top Converse and like duct tape them to a piece of wood and just try to walk around.
Right. It's like, it's like you have like 6 foot long clown shoes and you have like your boots have the structural integrity of a wet sneeze. And it's just, so everything, you know, about like skiing downhill, just throw out because there's no edge control. It's just so hard. Like my legs, there's a line in one of the episodes where I'm like, I feel like my legs are doing so much and then nothing at the same time. Like it's a great way to feel like a newborn deer on a frozen puddle, you know, cause you're just
exactly.
Oh, my limbs are everywhere.
And then my favorite part about cross country skiing, not to interrupt you, but like, hey, cross country skiing is really hard. Let's add guns and make it an Olympic sport.
I know. Like the last thing I want is to like have something like I'm supposed to shoot. And the other thing too with those people, like how are they controlling their breath? I go like, I take one step and I'm like, I'm at this like aerobic output where I'm just like on fire. And these people are trying to like shoot stuff. It's insane. Totally insane.
My body looks like, you know, when you exit a sauna and there's just like a cloud of steam. That's like the second I put Nordic stuff on, it's just like rising from me the whole time.
Yes. You are absolutely correct. I mean, it's like, it is the hardest mountain sport that I've ever done. And I think that like part of the series becoming a Nordork, that's kind of the point of it, right? Is like, it's just a personal essay that I catch on video. It was super fun to do. Solomon, you know, sponsored it, and then REI distributed it on their YouTube channel. And it was just a way, you know, I kind of knew that, or figured that Nordic skiing was going to blow up this fall, you know, because we didn't know what was going to happen with ski resorts or the backcountry. And I talked to my buddy Joe over at Solomon. I was like, hey, have you guys sold out of all your like Nordic stuff? He's like, yeah, we like don't have anything. And I was like, okay, I have an idea. I'm going to write it up. And what I did is I wrote up a script for it. And instead of sending the script over to him, I sent, you know, I actually filmed it all. I filmed like
perfect.
Like, So the first thing of the whole Becoming a Nordork series is this like series teaser. And I actually, that was what I sent over to Joe and was like, hey, this is the idea that I have. And he was like, I like this. There's something here. And so, you know, again, it's just like, hey, watch me be a novice. Don't you worry about being stupid and looking silly in front of people. I'll be stupid for you. And we can all giggle and laugh and watch me fall down.
Do you think do you think it helps sell? I have this debate often. Like, do you think that sells skis? Or do you think it makes people who already bought their equipment feel more comfortable that like, this is hard, not necessarily cross country, everything, but like everyone's kind of, with your stuff specifically, everyone's struggling. So when you get to the trailhead, it's okay to be like,
yeah.
But do you think that directly helps sell product?
You know, I think so. Right. And well, and this is like, this is going to be like this is like the age old, like marketing versus sales, like conversation, you know, like, you know, it's like, well, how is X like sell my widget? I need to see like the direct line. And like, you know, marketing's like, well, you know, people don't buy Nikes because they're the greatest shoes. People buy Nikes because they're cool, you know?
Right.
And we need to sell the cool. And so I think yes, you know, like if I see, you know, it, my thought is that like the power of no is so strong in our heads that even if we get the new gear, right, it's like, I don't want to feel stupid in front of someone who's really good at this. So like, I'm just not going to do this thing. I think that, you know, hopefully it inspired people to get out on trail and not take themselves seriously and just go out and enjoy the goofiness of trying something new, and the challenge of it. And if that sold some skis for the people that I partnered with, you know, I hope it did. More than anything, I hope it sold the idea that like, you know, you're okay to do this. It doesn't really matter if you're good at it or you're bad at it. You can still be a Nordic skier or a mountain biker if you're quote unquote bad at it. If you just love to do it, that's enough.
I wish we could put that on billboards everywhere. If you love
future like, idea. Here's like, our second business idea of this conversation.
Yeah. If you love to do it,
multi-level marketing and this, yeah.
Oh, and I already have another one. We're gonna review Aspen Extreme on Christmas Eve every year for the next 10 years in a podcast.
Oh, I'm into it.
There's a podcast that's been doing that. This is a super side note. It's called My Brother and Me. And they every year on, I think it's Christmas Eve, they review Paul Blart Mall Cop. But it's like, you put Paul Blart on and you put the podcast on, and like every year it's like amazing because it's just
that's gonna be my new favorite podcast.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. But I think if you love, I don't even remember what you said anymore, but if you love something, then go do it, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
But like, God,
if you love the sport, it doesn't matter if you're good at it or bad at it or intermediate at it, like you can identify with that thing.
Yeah. Know? Do you think like ski, go ahead.
I was going to say like, I'm going to be an intermediate mountain biker for the rest of my life because rocks and dirt really hurt. Sticks and trees really hurt. I don't want to like send my tuna off of like some sick jump or anything. I don't want to get in the air at all. You know, like I just want to like go uphill, hate that my lungs are burning as much as they are, and then kind of go downhill like a sort of fast clip. But then if it gets too steep, I'm probably going to walk it, you know, like I'm still going to call myself a mountain biker though. And that's the thing is like, I don't think that like your gnarlier than thou attitude, like makes you like a skier or a biker, or like a trail runner, a fly fisher, whatever, you know, it's like, no, I love this thing. And that's enough for me to call myself that thing.
Yeah. It's hard to get that though. Like you go to some ski resorts and I know you're not a big park skier, but like you go to some parks and like, I'm not a good park skier, but like in 2005, I was like, okay. And I still have all of those tricks. So like, that's where I'm at. Like, I'm not going to get better. I hopefully don't get worse. I'm just going to keep those tricks. But like I go to some resorts and some terrain parks and like everyone's just pumped on you being there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. People you don't know, they're like pumped. And then you go to some other parks and they're like, get off the lip. And they're like yelling at you.
Yeah.
And I always question, like, how do we as an industry, like, how do you can't create a vibe, but like, can brands like pick up slogans that like skiing's for everyone from me to Cody Townsend?
Right. And like, I think brands are like, you know, recognizing that and making that like shift. You know, when it comes
Shift buzzword,
there you go, like into, let's talk about the deliverables and the action items here of this podcast.
Yes.
You know, like I think we as a community can create that vibe of just like, I'm out here having fun, you know, like I'm not a park skier, a lot of stuff in the, I don't want to ski around metal. It scares me. Like those gigantic, like, you know, like 30 foot booters are just like, there's no way I'm hitting that, but I'll like hit the little side hit and do a safety grab or like a little mini tweak, or my favorite, my spread eagle.
Well, right.
Because I'm just like a gigantic 6 foot five, 230 pound X flying through the air. My favorite trick. That's the only real trick I have. You know?
See, I'm if more of a trick. I think it's a Cossack when you put like your hand
between the legs.
Yeah, I'm like, because then it shows my height
between your legs.
It shows my height really well. Like,
well, and that's, I think that to me, I would do that if I had any body control in the air. I feel like my arms just instinctively go up, you know?
Yeah, that's like a wee.
Have them go up. Yeah, I think there's a wee factor. So I don't know. I think that the whole kind of thing that like, you know, creating the vibe thing is like, I don't know, maybe it's calling out the things that are like, you know, not allowing people just to be goofy at this thing.
All right. Fourth business idea, searching for we, and it'll just be
searching for we.
Yeah. It'll just be like a very serious mockumentary about like us looking for that we.
But that's the thing. Like, it's like the we, like the hug, the community we of like us.
Yeah.
But also the we is in like the Yahoo, see? Multi-level.
I love this.
Onion. Now we got some purchase.
Love onions. Love onions. No, it's always funny because I've like, I haven't been doing this podcast long, but like it's been mostly like semi-pro skiers or like semi-pro something. Mm-hmm. And then last week I had Nicole from Mom Trends, and she's a mom blogger who's like got this giant following.
Yeah.
And she talked about how ski resorts are just like missing out on like probably their biggest cash grab opportunities, which is like families. Like if I go there, I'm a dirtbag. I probably like buy an Icon Pass at half off because I know somebody in the industry, and then everyone's mad at me, but I like, like scan my Icon through the thing real quick and put it in my pocket. So no one, like, I'm not the problem, but like, I don't spend a dime.
Put it in your pocket next to your lunch, your frozen pizza from last night that you brought, you know, because
that I stole like from, you know, like, but like park in their lot, sleep in their lot, didn't move my car, even though I knew the snowplow was coming. And I'm like, I'm not moving, but like, they don't make any money off me. And talking to Cole, it was like, which is so simple and stupid, but I'm simple and stupid. So I was like, oh, light bulb. Why aren't they, why aren't more resorts marketing to families, which obviously some are, but why aren't more resorts marketing the we factor of just like, oh, it doesn't have to be a powder day to have fun.
Right. Exactly.
Skiing and snowboarding and sledding and tubing is fun. Water parks are fun. Why can't we just have fun anymore?
I hope that like that's a takeaway from, you know, the stuff that I create, you know, is that, again, it's like, I just want to make people think and I want to make people laugh. And if I'm hopefully adding to that, you know, we factor that we all want.
Yeah. Searching for we. I was watching the news this morning and they were asking the older generation, what is an adult? And then they were asking like our generation, what is an adult? And then they were asking like kids, what is an adult? And like the older generation was like, you go to school, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, and then you die. And like our generation was like, I don't know. You work sometimes and like, you got to have a little fun. And then like kids were just like
massive student loan debt. Yeah. And you're thinking, how did my parents do this when they were my age?
They didn't have what we had in the best ways possible. They didn't have, you know, they weren't looking at their phones and like feeling pressure to like keep up with Johnny, or like they just did their thing and they survived. And I think that's what we are all trying to do, is survive in general.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, hopefully it's thrive and not survive.
Yeah. That's a NoFX lyric, I think.
Is it really?
Yeah. Not just.
I was really hoping that I had come up with something.
No, I think it's a, you know, I'll find
everything,
it.
Everything's stolen. Nothing's sacred.
That's true. Do you Google like ideas before you write them? Because everything is stolen.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, mostly my career is just 100% plagiarism, I would say.
No, but I forget his name from Low Pressure Pod just interviewed Jabber, and it's like they open and he asks, have you ever had an original idea in your life? And Adam was like, no. Jabber was like, no. And then they talked and I was like, man, that's deep. Like, that's a deep cut.
Well, there's a line in storytelling or in writing, right? There's no new stories. There's just new ways to tell them. You know, and I think that, you know, anybody who creates any kind of story, you know, or something that people are going to consume is trying to tell, something, you know, trying to tell a story that's worthy through a new and original way, you know. Have I ever come up with an original idea? I mean, I would like to think so. What is that one? I don't know.
I mean, no one's ever hated on telemark skiing, dude. That was like,
I was the first one. Yeah. The first one.
You were the most hated one for sure.
I know.
What's next? What do you got coming? What can you talk about that you have coming? What do you want to see? And yeah, what do you want to see happen in the ski industry, and what's next for Mr. at Patty O'Connell? Patty Rock.
Well, I would say that, now that hopefully, you know, the world is going to become vaccinated and COVID is going to become, a thing of the past, I do a lot of event work. So there's some events that I'm kind of like hoping happen in the next few months that can be done in a safe way. I'm actually next week going on my first production shoot.
Congratulations.
Some more stuff in front of the camera, behind the camera, and then, you know,
hang on one second, I lost you after production shoot, but we seem to be back on. So you had your next week you have your first production shoot.
I have my first production shoot in over a year, which is kind of like an insane thing to say out loud, and also it's a little like, oh god, do I remember how to do this, you know? So I'm excited about that. That's all I can say about that right now. You soon. And then the podcast world, I'm going to be doing some stuff with Dirtbag Diaries and Outside Podcasts and hopefully some other folks, some more stuff in front of, behind the camera, and I'm going to continue to write for Free Skier and for Ski Magazine and all the other folks that I write for, and just continue to do all the things and try to continue to come up with observational humor that will be put on the internet and hopefully make people laugh and think.
I love it. I appreciate you being on. I'm sorry for throwing that loophole, that Mari moment at you earlier.
I did think that it was going to be a major you are the father moment, but
yeah, I promised I wouldn't do that, but I kind of hit you later. Thank you for taking another hour of your life and chatting with me. Hopefully this one saves
Yeah, I hope you're here.
We're not doing this again. I'm sorry.
Or we'll have to do it live and we'll just like invite it'll be a webinar.
Yes, yes. Where can people follow you? What's your website, Instagram?
Well, my website is paddyrock.com, PaddyRoc, .com, which I think we talked about this last time. Like some people think like, oh, like what is that, Paddy Rocks? And it's like, no, it's just my initials, Ryan O'Connell. And that's the same handle for my Instagram, PaddyRoc. And that's where you can find the latest haps and the latest goofy humor and what I'm working on.
Great. Thanks, Paddy.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Thanks, this is awesome.
For doing this again, dude.
Yeah. And you know, I'm excited to become a Telemark skier, and I'm excited for you to be an Alpine skier.
I'm so excited to rip.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
I'm so excited to rip again.
Oh. Yeah.
Guys, there it is. Episode 10 of The Pursuit on the Audubon's Network. Paddy O'Connell, at Paddy Rock, at PaddyRoc. If you haven't figured it out by now, Paddy and I recorded last week and my computer crashed, so I lost everything. So a huge shout out to Paddy for hopping on the podcast again and getting out an episode. I feel like Paddy and I are best friends now, and I hope he hears this and we can be best friends, because I really like his mustache. We had a really good talk, and we like Aspen Extreme, and skiing's stupid, and we both agree on it. So Paddy Rock, thanks again. Thanks for listening to Pursuit. Leave a review, and we'll see you next week.